Yeah, you can trust him, follow his word without feeling like he's cheating you out of something. Okay, good. What else? Why is it so important for us to grasp the goodness of God? Yeah, you would understand the purpose of trials. That it's not God being mean to you, but accomplishing his good and great purposes. Why else? Why is it so important? Josh.
So we can compare to ourselves how bad we truly are.
Well, yeah, it reveals our own hearts, doesn't it? As we see the goodness and the greatness of God, we're reminded of our own wickedness in so many respects, and does remind us of how we need him. For sure. Good. I think coming to... I'm sorry, go ahead.
Part of knowing
him. Yeah, and just for who he is, his attributes. Certainly, if you understand that God is good, then you're going to accept his timing for your life, right? You will accept his provision for your life. You know, when you're tempted to think life is unfair and somehow you've been, you know, passed over in God's great plan, you'll be reminded, and you know, that's foolishness. God is a good God. I can trust him with my life. He's not going to make mistakes. He's not out of control. The goodness of God is huge, folks. It's just huge. And a lot of times when people get discouraged or begin to go down that path of sin, you know, they forget or just disregard the goodness of God. If you and I, when we begin to go down that path of self-pity or feeling like life is... if we would just stop and simply reflect on the goodness of God, I'm telling you what, that would stop a lot right there. Say, God, forgive me that I would have such thoughts to think that somehow you've missed something in my life. See, a lot of people, when it comes to relationships, they question the goodness of God. Because we're a society that presses you and encourages you into relationships, and the longer you go without them, the longer you go without marriage or prospects of marriage, the easier it is to become discouraged and think that somehow I need to get this taken care of. I mean, it would be desperate to go through life by yourself. But see, on the other hand, I meet with a lot of couples that the desperation actually is that they're going through life with somebody that they're struggling miserably with. So marriage doesn't really answer all the challenges of life. You know, we started by talking about the goodness of God, and then we spoke of the blessings of marriage. The blessings of marriage. You guys, Adam and Eve, well, God is the one who said to Adam, it's not good for man to be alone, and he created woman, because there wasn't a woman. And that's where I just think that brings great, great hope for anybody in this room that's saying, where am I going to find Mr. or Miss Wright for me? Where am I going to find him? There wasn't one. There wasn't a woman on the face of the earth. And God said, it's not good for man to be alone. He just created her, right? Just no big deal. And see, that's why I think if we would have that confidence that God can handle that, you really don't have to. And I've heard this taught that you need to go here and there and there, and you got to get it among the masses. You know, the more singles, the more possibilities. And I suppose there's some level of truth to that. They could all be bad possibilities, though, you know. And the reality is if we would just pursue God and be satisfied with him. And you sang a song, it was called Enough. When you first put the title up, I thought you were asking me to leave. Enough, you know. but what a beautiful song. Is he really enough? Is he really enough for you? Or does it take God plus giving me this and this and this? Is he really enough? That's a beautiful message. It's a beautiful message. You guys, marriage is a blessed relationship when it's done in such a way that it brings honor and glory to the one you serve in his time and his provision. And in that, we looked at passages in Genesis, but we also went to Song of Solomon, which is a beautiful picture of romantic love. Two people who see each other, and you can see it. You've seen it on their faces, right? You've seen people fall in love. I mean, it's like, you know, they're gone. They're just gone. And it's just so obvious. You know, when they sign up for premarital counseling, they come in and it's like, I guess. You know, I mean, it's like they don't even know I'm in the room. Outside, they're wondering, okay, what's this premarital counseling all about? You know, they're a little bit nervous. But you know, they're just gone because they're so enthralled with each other. And you guys, there's beauty in that. Song of Solomon paints that as a beautiful picture in that relationship progressing. And the beauty they see in one another and the joy they have in spending together. And you guys, that is God ordained. But we also talked about in the curse. When sin entered the world, one of the consequences was, apart from Christ ruling in your lives, there are problems in marriages. That is where a woman will want to take over and run the marriage. Okay? Or the man feeling like a need to be kind of a dictatorial leader in the marriage to try to keep. But in Christ, what we learned is that there are roles. When you come to know Christ, that all the husband, he is to love that wife as Christ loved the church. It's a sacrificial, godly, patient, caring kind of a love. And the woman is to submit, even as the church submits to Christ. And it's a beautiful relationship. And how precious that is. But one of the things we talked about, and you know, I asked the ladies, I said, you know, when you read Ephesians and it says you're to submit to your husband in everything, how does that make you feel? In everything. It doesn't say in everything unless you're in a bad mood. In everything as long as he's being godly. It just says you submit in everything, period. And the only way you can avoid that is if that husband clearly directs you to do something that is opposed to Scripture. Apart from that, submit in everything. That's what it says. You know, and some of you go, because you guys, we like to put, yeah, but. The Scripture doesn't add that. But you guys, the reality of the husband's role, that sacrificial love, as Christ loved the church, well, you guys, his love for the church was such that he's on the cross, and it says, while we were yet sinners, he died. You know, and so the picture isn't, well, if you submit to me, I'll love you like that, or if you love me like that, I'll submit. That's not it at all. The relationship really is supposed to be two believers who love God with all their hearts and thrill to fulfill their roles in the way that went on the Lord. Marriage is a blessed relationship when it's right before God. We talked about divorce and remarriage last week. And remember in Matthew 19, after Jesus taught on that very subject, the disciples themselves said, then it is better not to be married. That's pretty profound. If these are the laws and the restrictions as it relates to marriage and divorce, it's better not to be married. I mean, all of a sudden, they realized the level of commitment. They realized the difficulty. They realized the potential challenges. That you guys, it's not a game. I mean, it's a very, very serious relationship. And the thing is when you're in a dating engagement relationship, it can all be so fun and frills and the joy and the thrills of just that relationship that you lose sight of. This is till one of us dies or till the Lord should come, period. Well, you guys, when you start thinking in realistic terms, I was talking to somebody here, and they're telling me about a counseling situation with a guy in his premarital, well, not premarital, but he was talking to a gal, and he said to her, I want to hear what you think about his sins. What are his sins? And you know, it's like, what? You know, if I was talking to Charlie and he's dating Diane, and I say, Charlie, but I want to know, what are her challenges? What are the things she struggles with? What are her sins? Well, you don't even want to talk about that. You don't want to think about that. You don't want your mind to go there at all, right?
That's right.
Because you're in love.
There were no faults.
Yeah. And see, you talk to Diane, and she would say, oh.
She said, boy, do I have a list for you.
Yeah. Well, that's what she did now, but I, back then, I think she would, yeah. But you guys, part of that reality is you're two sinners coming together, and there needs to be honesty and integrity in a relationship. I don't mean that you look and Cammie says, well, Bill, you know, but just honesty. Just biblical Christian honesty is what we're talking about. Tonight, we're going to talk about signs of a healthy relationship. And we're going to talk about some danger signs, warnings in an unhealthy relationship, or a relationship that could be progressing towards a lack of health. Okay, things that you need to watch out for. And so in doing this, this is not comprehensive, but I'd like to share some things so that as some of you are involved in relationships, some of you desire to be involved in relationships, is that relationship grows, things that you can look at that are just concrete things. Things that you can think rationally and biblically about in the process of fostering or nurturing a relationship. We'll start with signs of a healthy relationship. And I probably have too many. I'm going to worry you, okay? But at least I did. On the healthy relationship, I have 16 of them. I don't have near that many on unhealthy, okay? So we'll go easy on that end. But they're pretty obvious. Okay, the first thing is, you guys, in a relationship, if we talk about the responsibility of loving somebody as Christ loved the church and submitting to somebody in the Lord, the obvious first thing is that both people must be in Christ. They must be in Christ. And you say to me, well, yeah, that's obvious. No, you know what? Unfortunately, it's not so obvious. You'd be amazed at the people that will even come to me and say, yeah, I'm finally dating somebody, so-and-so. And hey, what's the most obvious question that I'm going to ask? I mean, I'd be excited. Oh, I think that's really neat. Wait, what's the obvious question I'm going to ask? Well, yeah, are they a believer? You can't imagine the number of people that say, I'm pretty sure. You're pretty sure? Pretty sure? Ladies, let me tell you something. You marry somebody and you're not absolutely sure that he is in submission to Christ with all of his heart, you're a fool. That's just so foolish. I mean, you may get a husband, all right, but you may also get a life that's nothing like the dreams that you've had about marriage and family. Guys, you may get a wife, and she may be beautiful. I mean, the prettiest thing that walks on this earth. And you might find yourself in the worst situation a man could be in a marriage. You guys, first and foremost, it ought to be absolutely, blatantly obvious, as best man can tell, that both people know the Lord and love the Lord. I'm amazed in the youth group, there's been times that I've said, how many of you are Christians? As you would expect, hands go up all over the place. But you know what? When I say, how many of you really love God? You know what? People hesitate. Those are the same thing. You guys, those are the same thing. You can't say that I'm a Christian, but I'm not in love with God. Those are the same thing. Isn't that interesting? Our culture is deceived. The greatest commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength, everything. And so it is, you guys, when you even contemplate a relationship with a man or a woman, if you're thinking that your relationship is going to be what it takes to get them where they need to be spiritually, you're in such serious trouble. You're in such serious trouble. I'm telling you what, you'd be better off remaining single for your life, serving God with all your heart, than getting involved in such a relationship that could be the heartache and heartbreak of your life. John 1:12, but as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in His name. 1 John 3:1, see how great a love the Father has bestowed on us that we would be called children of God, and such we are. For this reason, the world does not know us because it did not know Him. And so it is that two people who come together in Christ, you guys, they are already united in the greatest way. That is, they are brothers and sisters in Christ. That is the fundamental thing that needs to take place in a relationship. Because again, how are you going to be able to submit? I mean, come on, think about it, gals. How are you going to submit to somebody in everything like that? Well, it's if you submit to the Lord in everything. That's how God gives you the grace, and then it's blessedness. You know, guys, how are you going to really love somebody without being selfish and self-centered like you are? And I am. Huh? It's by submitting to Christ and learning and growing in Christ, and He then empowers you to be able to do that. That's how it works. And apart from that, I guarantee it doesn't work. It does not work apart from that submission. Well, you guys, in our Christian lives, one of the things that's critical is that, and this is the second one, that you're spending quality time with the Lord. In Psalm 119:97, it says, "Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day." Oh, how I love your law. It's my meditation all of the day. And you guys, you and I, and Pastor Tom's talking about the wisdom from hell and the wisdom that comes down from God. And you just need to know that you cannot study your Bible and store up wisdom for the future so that you just study, and then you can take a month off. And somehow that wisdom just accumulates. See, it's not like that. You and I are desperate for God's Word and God's wisdom every single day. Any of you guys feel adequate to face any given day when you wake up in the morning? You have no idea what's coming. You have no idea what challenges you will face. You'll have no idea the conflicts that are coming. You have no idea the opportunities for evangelism. Does anybody here really feel capable any day you wake up to deal with whatever it is that's coming your way? I don't. I surely don't. And so, you know, you love Christ, and then you have this desire and love for His Word. And you guys, bottom line, we talked about this before. If you take and put this book away, you have nothing. You have no guidelines. No, I'll get people come in for counseling, and there'll be referrals, so they're coming in from doctors. They don't come to the church. And they'll come in, and of course, they don't know me from Adam, you know. We sit down. And one of the things I'll talk to them about is, obviously, the religious background, because I'm going to share the gospel with them. And I'll talk to them about the Bible. And I tell them, you know, the Bible says it provides everything for life and godliness. So I'm glad to listen to where you're at, listen to the struggles. But I want you to know, the only place I'm going to take you is I'm going to take you to this book. And I'm going to teach you and show you the truth of God's Word. And if you're willing to submit to this, I assure you, God's provision for you will be perfect. Well, some of them, not sure how to take that. But you guys, the reality is, if you don't have this, and this is what I'll tell them. Well, let me, you know, I'll have them come in and they'll say, well, unsaved people. They'll say, well, my kids just need to respect me. I say, why? Why should they respect you? Who cares? My wife should love me. Why? You guys, apart from God's Word giving us direction on this, why should anybody do anything? Why? What guidelines do you have? Every man does what's right in his own eyes. That's what happens when you get rid of this. And so it is that in a relationship, you want to know, you, in not just with this other person, but about your own heart, that you need to love God's Word. You are desperate for God's Word. I'm desperate for God's Word. And you guys, these are key elements just in life, and certainly make a profound difference in a relationship. You need to be committed to worshiping the Lord. Jesus said in Matthew 4:10, get away from here, Satan. Go, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve Him only. And you guys, I point that out because you just have to understand that in a relationship, it's easy to lose focus from God, isn't it? It's actually easy to worship relationship. It's easy for a relationship, a human relationship, to take priority over God. Some of you have been in a relationship with a guy or gal. Isn't it amazing how you can find time to talk, to spend time together, to see each other, even in the most difficult of circumstances? Worship the Lord your God and serve Him above all else, first and foremost. That's critical. And at the point you see that sliding, there's going to be a concern. Worship God. And together then, corporate, you're worshiping God. That's first and foremost in your mind. You guys, you need to always be interested and committed to sharing the gospel with the lost. When you lose that focus, probably something's getting awry in a relationship. Okay? That in your own life, and for those that are in a courtship or a dating relationship, whatever you want to call it, is that you continue to have compassion for the lost. Now, I'm going to talk about this in a little while, so I won't go there. But you guys, that does wonders for your testimony in a relationship. If your mind is always thinking about how am I going to minister to the lost. You both need to be in love with God. We talked about that earlier, but you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, Matthew 22:37. Your relationship with whomever it might be is clearly second to your relationship with God. You know, so much. Let me read. In Luke 14:26, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Did you hear that, you guys? If anyone does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And so it is. It's not that a relationship's not precious, that you can't enjoy it. There's great joy and excitement in a human relationship between a man and a woman. But you guys, it is always to be such a distant second to your own relationship with the living God that it's as though you hate them. It's a picture of contrast. Okay, that your love for God is so great, that you're so committed to Him, you desire so wholeheartedly to serve Him, that while you love this girl, or you love this man, it does not, that relationship is not elevated to the point where it's even comparable to your relationship with God. You need to love each other. Now, I know that seems silly. I actually talked to somebody on the phone the other day that they were doing an arranged marriage here in the States. I shouldn't say that. I had my secretary call them. But it's somebody that legitimately, they do arranged marriages. There is actually groups in the United States that do that. They actually arrange marriages. And you guys, I think that can work. And certainly there are cultures that it works. It's not my preference. I guess it may not be your preference, but it can. I mean, it can happen. You guys, the picture in Song of Solomon is there is a romantic attraction and a love for this person. I have heard people say, well, as long as you're a Christian, I'm a Christian, we ought to get married and everything ought to be okay. Maybe, you know. We are also different personalities, and there's a lot of differences with us. So when you come to marriage, you do bring the fact that you're a Christian, you're both Christians, and that's certainly critical. And in arranged marriage, in Christ, you learn to love each other. But the picture in Song of Solomon is you have people that are attracted to each other. They're romantically inclined toward each other. They want so desperately to be together. They long to be together. And the whole picture is a progression there, you guys. And there is a beauty to that love. And I have had people come in and this person is really a Christian sister. And it's not that I'm really physically attracted to her, but since she's just solid Christian and all, do you think I should consider marriage? I said, no. Marriage is it's not just being a Christian brother and a Christian sister, folks. There's like physical intimacy and a lot that goes with it. And you ought to be attracted to her. And she ought to be attracted to you. Or I'm telling you, you end up in the counseling office. Because it doesn't work. It just doesn't work. You both are serving the Lord. In 1 Peter 4:10, it says, as each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And you guys, I think this can be such an advantage. Here's the reality. The Scriptures make it clear, Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, that when you come to know Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit comes into you, and the Holy Spirit imparts to you a gift or gifts. That the Holy Spirit imparts to you those gifts so that you can serve within the body of Christ, that is, the church. That is a responsibility for every believer. So if you're here today and you're not in some way serving within the church, then that's something you need to deal with. Because the Bible says you have a responsibility to serve within the church. And you guys, there's all kinds of different opportunities. So it describes the body and the parts, different parts doing different things. So it is with you, but you need to serve within the context of the body of Christ. You guys, for a couple coming together, they know God, they love God, they love His Word, they're learning, they're growing. And you guys, they ought to be serving. You ought to be able to see each other serve in the ministry in the local church. A compassion and a sacrifice for other people. That should be a part of your life before you get married. It should be a part of your life after you get married. But you'd be amazed how many people come in to me in premarital and they're not involved. And what they're thinking is, well, when we get married, that's when we'll get involved. You guys, when Christ gifted you and when He saved you, He gifted you to serve. You need to do it now. You just start now. That's part of the Christian life. You really need to be at a time in life, if you're going to get involved in a dating or courtship relationship, when the relationship can reasonably end in marriage. That's why the lesson I give in the high school group versus here is different. Some of you know that, right? I mean, the statistics for moral failure inside and outside of the church are absolutely astounding, devastating. And so it is. Even in the Song of Solomon, you see the relationship build and grow. And what's it's heading for physical intimacy. It's heading for marriage. And so it is in a relationship, you guys. When you have a love for somebody and a passion and a compassion, and you want to be with them and you want to live together and you want to share together the rest of your life, I mean, you're heading down a course. And to try heading down that course, all the while knowing, well, I'm not going to get married for how many years, you're just asking for trouble. You have to be so careful. And I know that time frame can be different for different people. I'm just saying that you need to understand that a relationship between a man and a woman is designed to progress towards marriage and physical intimacy. And so it says in Ecclesiastes 3:1, there's a point of time for everything. There's a time for every event under heaven. You know, Song of Solomon, it says, be careful about awakening love before it's time. That can get you in some big trouble. You ought to be able to talk consistently and comfortably about spiritual issues. You ought to be able to talk consistently and comfortably about spiritual issues. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 13 and 14, it says, but having the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believe, therefore I spoke. We also believe, therefore we also speak. Knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will present us with you. You guys, part of Christianity is that we talk about spiritual things. And again, this is another issue that people will say they're Christians, but they cannot talk about spiritual issues with those that are closest to them. That's a problem. I mean, that's a huge problem. And so it is in this relationship, if it's growing, if it's a love for God as it ought to be, you guys, you ought to be able to talk about things of Christ. Encourage each other, pray, help each other, guide each other, share things that you're learning from the Word. All of that ought to be a part of your relationship. You ought to, in some instances, this might be more difficult to develop, but you ought to enjoy a reasonably healthy relationship with one another's family. Now, I know that some families are unsaved, and that can be difficult, but even within that context, you guys, there ought to be an interest to be with one another's families, to build relationships. You know, when you avoid the moms and dads of the one that you love, oftentimes there's a reason for that. And you need to be careful. You need to be careful. Part of a biblical relationship is an honor and respect for authority and specifically for parents. And so you ought to be very considerate of one another's families. You've got to be more interested in God's plan being fulfilled than your own. In anything in life, but in any relationship, you need to be willing to say, God, I want your will accomplished more than my own. So that if this relationship is not such that it would honor you in every respect, God, I let it go. Oftentimes it's not that way at all. People get into a relationship, they want so desperately to be married that they're going to hang on to it no matter what the warning signs, they're going to hang on to it because they just want to be married. In Proverbs 16:9, it says, the mind of man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. You always remember that marriage does not begin until the vows are exchanged. You always remember that marriage doesn't begin until the vows are exchanged. And so there's a commitment to honoring and respecting one another, and respecting the Lord. In 1 Timothy 5:1-2, it says, well, just verse 2, it says, the older women you're to treat as mothers and the younger women as sisters in all purity. 1 Thessalonians 4:1-8, we went through that a couple of weeks ago, where it's talking about people who are really walking with the Lord. The church has been very faithful. Paul tells them to excel still more. And then it says, for you know what commandments we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification. That is that you abstain from sexual immorality. And so that's one of those cautions that you need to be so very careful of. And again, let me remind you that in this passage, he's talking to people that are very committed to the Lord. He's not talking to people that are flaking. He's talking to people that are solid. And in talking to them, he's saying, you need to be careful to avoid sexual immorality. It seems like a huge jump to me in this passage, but it's not, because the temptations are significant. So he warns him that one of the signs of a healthy relationship, you've got to be so very, very careful. You understand the responsibilities in marriage as taught in Ephesians 5, and desire your marriage to fulfill God's purpose. You understand the responsibilities in marriage as taught in Ephesians 5, and you desire your marriage to fulfill God's purpose. And I really think that you need to think through that considerably. Because I think that there's a danger of coming into a relationship and just making this dating relationship, this engagement, this marriage, just all about the two of you. You know, I want to be married. I want to have somebody that I can love, that will love me. I want to be able to live with somebody and have children together and take care of those children. And there's a real tendency to think of all of that apart from God's ordained purpose for marriage. And really, his purpose is bigger than that. He wants you to enjoy those things. He's gifted you for marriage. He wants you to enjoy those, you guys. But the bigger thing is that when other people see you in that relationship, there's a much bigger picture that they're supposed to see. As they watch you, they're supposed to see two people that love God above all else, even one another. Two people that in their relationship, they want to be together, but they're faithful, serving and caring and loving and ministering to other people. Two people, the gal who responds in such a loving, gracious, submissive way, but when the world looks and they see this man's love for her, they see this sacrificial, kind, gracious, patient love, and so this beautiful relationship, and it teaches them about Christ and the church and the church's response back. You guys, that's our goal. That's what we want to see. That's what we want to display. And so the beauty of the relationship is not simply for the two of you. It's much bigger than that. I'm going to go ahead and move on to some of the danger signs. One of them, and I did skip some in there if you're wondering how many you got, and you're going, all right. Carelessness in one's personal walk with the Lord is a huge, huge danger sign. Carelessness in one's personal walk with the Lord. In Luke 9:23-26, Jesus was saying to them all, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake, he is the one who will save it. For what is a man profited if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels." Now let me ask you this, you guys. Obviously these verses apply in multitudes of situations, but we're talking primarily relationships right now. Can you talk to me about ways that you can lose sight of this real fast in a relationship? What happens? What takes place that can cause you to all of a sudden lose your spiritual bearings, if you will? Can you talk to me about things that are distractions or that can foster carelessness in your personal walk? Just getting too busy. Okay, that can be part.
Your infatuation with the other person.
Infatuation with the other person, and so really, your time shifts, doesn't it? All of a sudden, you're wanting to devote more time to this person, and in doing that, God, all of a sudden, gets less and less time, right? Other things?
Physicalness can be there.
Just the physical attraction, did you say? Physical?
Just physical aspect.
Yeah, the relationship. It can be a distraction. And you guys, understand that the physical relationship is a blessing from God. Okay? And so the desire for that, the longing for that, is not in and of itself wrong. Timing. Timing and patience in that process. But that can be a huge distraction. And all of a sudden, you can get going down a road, and you guys, your own personal walk with the Lord. And so I'll tell you what, in your relationship, if you have a relationship with a guy, gal, and all of a sudden, you start finding your own personal walk suffering. You can be on the phone day and night, middle of the night, you know. Cell phones have created all kinds of issues there where the communication can be almost unending. And if you find that your time is being absorbed and absorbed, and your time with the Lord is getting less and less, and yet you know Jesus says, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross. And you go, I am not doing that. Well, men, let me say to you, you need to lead. You need to stop that. You need to control it. Let me say to you ladies, if that guy is not willing to take initiative to stop that, you ought to be concerned about his spiritual leadership. Those things you've got to think through. Those are going to be important issues in your life and your marriage. I think it'll be a discipline for you, because the tendency is to want to spend all the time together. And so you have to be determined to make decisions so that you maintain your spiritual perspective, your spiritual priorities. It's going to take work, effort. Another one, a danger sign, is when you begin to isolate yourselves. When you begin to isolate yourselves. The Bible talks a lot about the deeds of darkness. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 to 13, it says, you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. For it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. But all things become visible when they're exposed by the light, for everything that becomes visible is light. 1 Thessalonians 5:5 says, for you all sons of light and sons of day, we're not of night nor of darkness. 1 Peter 2:9 says, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. One of the ways we isolate is we begin to draw ourselves into the darkness, the deeds of darkness. And so in a relationship, you have to learn to establish guidelines, priorities of where that relationship is best served. And so it is, if you find that the tendency for you is to stay in places that are dark, stay in places that are away from other people, and you guys, that can be in the light, that can be isolated, then you got a problem. You got a problem, and you're asking for it. You're just asking for it. And that's where God has warned us about those things. And so you need to know that if that begins to happen, there's a warning light's going off. Do something. But the tendency is not to do anything because you don't want to offend that person that you love. And so both just tend to let those things go, and it's not good. It's not good. Warning sign. There's a danger in this area of being isolated if you pull back from others. I talked to you about 1 Peter 4:10. God has gifted you to serve. And one of the danger signs is if I see somebody involved and they're working in ministry, and then all of a sudden they start dating somebody, and pretty soon they don't have time for ministry. They just keep pulling back further and further and further. Well, you guys, you start losing spiritual priorities, and you got to be careful. Because it's easy then for your mind to start going down a wrong path. It's easy for a relationship to start going down a wrong path. Stay involved. Stay with people. Continue to serve. Learn to work together and serve together and honor God together. As you pull back from those things, it can be a hazard. Don't misunderstand, you guys. I know that there's a time when we get overwhelmed and we need to back off some. I understand if there's two people and they're involved in different ministries and one may need to lighten up here so they can spend proper time together. Understand that. I'm not saying reasonable adjustments are not good. I'm just saying when you just start pulling back from ministry and all of a sudden the ministry becomes distant to you, you need to be careful. A lack of love for the saints. You guys, oftentimes people will use 1 Corinthians 13 as a test of love. Okay? So, old Jeff, he's dating Debbie, and he's thinking, I wonder if I really love her. And so he goes to 1 Corinthians 13, which is the chapter on... And it says, if I speak with the tongue of men and of angels, but do not have love, I become a noisy gong. If I have a gift, I have no mysteries, don't have love, I'm nothing. If I give all my possessions to the poor, surrender my body, be burned, have not. That love is patient. Love is kind. I bring her a flower like every day. It's not jealous. I struggle with that a little bit, but I'm doing okay. does not brag, is not arrogant, does not act unbecoming, yeah. Does not seek its own, is not provoked, does not take into account wrong, yeah. Does not rejoice in unright, rejoices with the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and yeah! I'm in love. But this is not written for a dating relationship. That's not what this chapter is for. The chapter actually was a rebuke to a church. A church that has lost its love for the saints. Now, don't misunderstand. I think that this is a good picture of what love is for that person that we love. But you guys, if this love is genuine, and I love this girl, and that love is genuine, and my love for God is genuine, then it will be demonstrated because we will love the saints. We will love other Christians. We will love other people. You see, that's how that love is really demonstrated. And so surely, yeah, between my wife and I, we can talk about those things and demonstrate love. But the reality of this being in my life is the fact that not only do we love each other, but that love, that gracious, sacrificial love is demonstrated to the saints. And so if you just use this and isolate yourselves and think this is a picture of love, if it's the two of you, but it disregards the body of Christ and your service and your sacrifice for them, you're wrong. That's a selfish love. It is a self-centered love. It's about you two and what you want, and it's got a circle around you, and that is not biblical love. You see? It's much bigger than that. If you have a lack of interest for the unsaved, and here's the beauty of maintaining a concern for the unsaved. And when you have a relationship, in a dating relationship, is that wherever you go, the two of you are looking for opportunities to what? What? Minister. Share the gospel. Be a testimony. So what does that do for you in your relationship? It affects the temptation, doesn't it? Yeah, if my mind is focused on ministering to the lost, wherever I go, then you guys, doesn't that raise the standard for my relationship so that I truly can demonstrate Christ-likeness? So that I really do? I mean, you have to be behaving in such a way so that if opportunity presents itself, you can talk to somebody about Jesus. If you got to get untangled in order to do that, that's a problem. Right? I mean, so it affects you. You guys, I think it affects where you're willing to go. For instance, if you have an apartment and you're concerned about the lost people in that apartment complex, I would think that you would think twice before the two of you go into that apartment alone, even if you're not intending to do anything wrong. Because of what it could communicate to people who make assumptions based on our culture. I would just think that it would cause you to think, wait. I need to be careful so that I don't jeopardize my testimony, so that I maintain my Christian walk, so that it's above reproach. So when you start losing that interest in the unsaved so that your testimony is no longer such a big deal, you know, they can be sitting out in a car in a parking lot or in a driveway for a long time. You know, I mean, any of those things can jeopardize your testimony to people around. You just got to think about those things. Of course, an unhealthy emphasis on the physical relationship. And that's where I caution you, because you guys, a relationship that heads towards marriage ultimately becomes physical within the context of the marriage. And the challenge is to keep that reined in until the appropriate time. Marriage is not a marriage until you stand at the altar. And you don't know for sure you're going to marry that person until you stand at the altar. Anything can happen up until that time. And so you want to be careful that you don't treat that person like they're your spouse. Before they are, you might be handling somebody else's spouse. You don't know that. The objective above all is to please and honor God in those relationships, and those are very difficult things. You need to use great caution. It's a danger sign when you're not willing to help one another with spiritual issues. That is to be honest with each other and talk about legitimate issues of spiritual consequence. In Hebrews 3:13 it says, "But encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin." You guys, part of an honest relationship is that you can share the truth about the issues of life and you can encourage each other, and you can pray for each other so that you help each other to walk with Christ in a God-honoring way. It is a great danger in a relationship when you're not able to talk about spiritual things. It's not good. How would you ever fulfill God's purpose in your marriage if even in those early days you can't talk about spiritual things and talk about the areas you struggle and pray for each other and help each other to be godly and to be wise and to be spiritual and be disciplined? If you find that you're in a relationship where you can't do that, I would suggest to you that the relationship is poorly timed. And I would suggest to you that you need to mature more before you get into a relationship. Slow down. We've touched on this already to some extent, but you guys, when the Word of God is no longer central in your life, and this happens quickly. This can happen very quickly, that all of a sudden you're in love and you're so excited about the relationship and life is so busy that you're just going down the road and you know, you're so exhausted from late nights and early mornings and work and school and all of those things that you just don't have time. And when you say you don't have time, you need to understand what you're saying to God is, I am not interested right now, God. I am taking care of my own issues. Don't need you. Don't need you. Now, of course, when things kind of go to garbage, then that's when all of a sudden, oh, God, help me. But when you begin to neglect God's Word, you are telling Him, it's not an issue of time. You're simply telling Him, you have your life under control. Just give me some space. And that's a very poor position to take. In Psalm 119, verses 43 to 48, it says, and do not take the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I wait for your ordinances. So I will keep your law continually forever and ever. And I will walk at liberty, for I seek your precepts. I will also speak of your testimonies before kings and shall not be ashamed. I shall delight in your commandments, which I love. And I shall lift up my hands to your commandments, which I love. And I will meditate on your statutes. Goes on and on and on. You guys don't, the further you get from the Word of God, I'm telling you, you're heading for trouble. Don't do that. You need it. You both need it. You desperately need it for every single day of your life. And so build your relationship around it, not separate from it. If you're fostering thoughts that cannot be biblically fulfilled outside of marriage, you're in big trouble. If you're fostering thoughts that cannot be biblically fulfilled outside of marriage, you're in big trouble. In James chapter 1, verse 13 to 15, it says, let no one say when he is tempted, I'm being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone. So if you find yourself in temptation, know first of all, that has nothing to do with God. That is not part of his ordained plan for you. Something is wrong. It says, each one is tempted when he is carried away by his and enticed by his own lust, that is, his own desires. That process starts in your mind. The eyes are one of the tools that can be used to draw in those thoughts. But you guys, the mind, even in and of itself, fosters thoughts that are terribly ungodly. And when you find your mind dwelling in places that it ought not to be, you have a problem. One of the critical issues in Scripture is that for the believer, their mind is to be renewed. Romans 12, 1 and 2, that your mind is to be renewed. In Colossians 3, it says you're to set your mind on the things above. Set your mind on the things above. And so it is in Psalm 119, 9, 11. How shall a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to thy word. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. If you foster thoughts in your mind that cannot be biblically fulfilled outside the context of marriage, then you need to change. You need to confess, repent, and change. If you find that you can't seem to be able to do that, you need to get out of the relationship, period. Just need to get out. And 2 Peter 1, 3 and 4 says, seeing that His divine power has granted us everything pertaining to life and godliness, through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. He's granted to us, you guys, everything that we need for life and godliness. That's what He desires from us. He says, for by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Having escaped it. That comes from God through his word, through his spirit. You know, if your life is consumed with worry about the potential breakup of your relationship, it is not a good relationship. It's not healthy. You don't believe God is good. You don't believe that you can trust God. If you think you found the person and you're worried that God is going to break it up, you guys, you misunderstand the character and the nature of God. If God breaks it up, it's not right. It's not right. And if you think, you know, when you come to a relationship and you're in it, you think it's right, God's saying it's wrong, who's right? God is always right. He knows to the depth of your heart and your mind and your soul. He knows everything about you and he knows everything about them. You guys, if God says no, you need to say, okay, which way? How fast? Let's go. Get out. Trust him. Will it hurt? Will there be emotion? Sure. But you guys, even in the midst of your emotion, say, thank you, God, that I can trust you, protect me, and I don't understand what all's going on. But you are good. Familiar verses, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Often, we'll say, why do we not lean on our own understanding? Because we don't have any. God understands everything. We are so inadequate. In Isaiah 26:3, it says, as steadfast of mind you will keep in perfect peace because he trusts in thee. See that? God will give us perfect peace, you guys, because we trust him. Psalm 32:8, the Lord says, I will instruct you and teach you. In the way which you should go, I will counsel you with my eye upon you. You have to be careful of jealousy in a dating relationship. James 3:14-16 says, if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder in every evil thing. And you guys, there's a balance. There's an appropriate place for jealousy. God is a jealous God. You know, I can be jealous for my wife. I mean, if some guy came in and started trying to woo my wife and get her attention, stuff like that, he would have a problem with me. Okay? Because she's mine. She is mine. God has given her to me. No man has any right to do that. And he and I would have a problem. But you guys, in a dating relationship, there's not, you don't have an ownership of, you're not each other's. That comes at the point of marriage. And you need to be real careful. So you've got somebody and they're just totally possessive of you and jealous. You need to be careful. That can be a dangerous thing. And I've seen situations where that's become just an obsession in a relationship. Very ugly. It can be very ugly. You just need to be careful. And again, I'm going to revisit this one more. When there's awkwardness in dealing with spiritual issues in a relationship, you guys, you ought to be able to talk. You know, you ought to be able to say, Kirk, it really bugs me when you chew with your mouth open all the time. Okay, now I'm not saying Kirk does that, okay, and I hope you're okay with me. You're just using it. But you guys, some people have habits that bug, but then beyond that, sometimes there's spiritual issues where you're just struggling with. I'm struggling with my heart. I'm struggling with patience with the Lord. I'm struggling in my time with the Lord. You guys, you ought to be able to deal. You ought to be able to talk about all of those things. Now, I think there's places where you stay off until you're getting close to marriage, okay? I think there's things you got to be real careful of when you start thinking intimacy and things that relate specifically. You need to be very cautious about those things because those can lead one's mind into trouble. But you guys, just in the relationship, that comfort to deal with issues, to deal with problems. In Genesis 3:8, remember what happened? They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. They hid themselves. Why? Because they're sinning. They're doing things wrong. So what's the first thing they want to do? They want to pull back. But you guys, you ought to be able to talk about spiritual things, pray about spiritual things, interact about spiritual things, communicate, because you're very comfortable in the presence of the Lord. Because your relationship, the focus, the intent is to please the Lord above all else. That's where your heart is. And you guys, I just want you to know, if you would be patient and trust God and pray that you would become this kind of person, that you would have a wisdom in a relationship, that you would just know that God can provide in His own time and serve Him with all your heart until that day, what a blessing that can be. You get in a hurry, you could be like the nation of Israel. We want a king! God said, it's not where I want you to go. Samuel said, and God told Samuel, give him a king. And so they got Saul. God warned them what all was going to happen if they got Saul as a king. You know that? He warned them, this happens, here's the consequences. And so they got the king, and then the people realized how bad it was, and what did they do? They repented. And know what God said? I forgive you. You still have a king. You still have a king. And so it went. Was God willing to work with them? Yep. I can't tell you the number of people come into my office and said, Rock, I married the wrong person. What do I do? What do you say? You learn to be a godly spouse regardless. Till death. Do you know how hard that is, you guys, to see somebody in such miserable condition? And I can speak about this passionately because I deal with this all the time. It's terrible. I'm just telling you. But it doesn't have to be. It can be wonderful, God-honoring, beautiful. That's how. But you wait on God. You trust God. You follow His direction. It's not like there's no direction. You listen and you respond. And when you see danger signs, rather than just blowing through them like it doesn't matter, you say, God, help me to see clearly and do what's right. You make the hard decisions if you have to. Plan as simple as what I put, wait for the Lord. As you wait, serve the Lord with all of your heart. Don't allow Satan to distract you from your sincere desire and devotion for the Lord. Trust God to provide for all of your needs. I'm sorry, I'm going way fast. You want me to slow down? First one was wait for the Lord. I've got to hurry. As you wait, serve the Lord with all of your heart. As you wait, serve the Lord with all of your heart. You guys, don't allow Satan to distract you from your sincere devotion to the Lord. Don't let Satan distract you from your sincere devotion to the Lord. Trust God to provide for all of your needs. Remember that His timing is often different from our timing, but His timing is always perfect. His timing is often different than ours, but His is always right. It's always perfect. Always remember that God is good. He is always good. I'll leave these up here if you need to get those. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for the time. I do pray, God, that the folks in this room would truly understand Your greatness and Your goodness. Heavenly Father, I know Satan, the enemy, works overtime to cause problems here. So, Lord God, I pray that You'd protect these folks. I pray that they would be single-minded in their love and devotion to You. And, Lord, as You provide opportunity, as You bless them with a relationship, might they use great caution? Might they have wisdom? Might they desire to honor You above all else? Might you use them as beautiful testimonies in a culture that is so corrupt that people would see what a biblical relationship is, what true purity and what an honorable marriage looks like. Oh, Lord, might You use them for that. Should You choose to leave them single, might they find great contentment in loving You with all of their heart and serving You with all of their time for Your glory. In Christ's name, amen.